Friday night is family movie night here on ESPN with our feature presentation, Glory Road, based on the true story of the 1966 Texas Western men's basketball team, which was the first to start five African-American players and win the national championship. It's Friday night, 8:30 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, as we ask you to send us your videos using the hashtag Rise and Shine of how you're keeping yourself busy, we have this one, making breakfast this morning, James Harrison presenting a unique way to crack your eggs.
Got the egg right here, so I'm going to try and see if it'll crack. I'm going to put it in between my arm, I'm going to flex and see if it'll crack. I don't believe it's going to crack. I don't think this could be done, but I'm going to give it a try anyway. So.
Dominique, what do you think?
I mean, I don't want to know what way he's holding the egg because, oh, that's impressive. I mean, that's a nice bicep, but I feel like if you're holding it long ways, it's easier to crack. You hold it the other way, like the oblong way, then it's tough to crack. I don't know how, I want to see a close-up on this. I want sports science to get in there and figure out if he cheated.
Now listen, he has an extraordinary bicep. I am overwhelmingly impressed by his bicep as well anyone would be. But I feel like I could do that. Do you not feel like you could crack an egg by putting it in your elbow?
Don't talk about it, Greeny. Be about it.
I'm going to be about it. Someone get me an egg, for crying out loud. I mean, yeah, I'm sitting up here eggless right now. I can't really do anything about it. I'm a man without an egg, so there's nothing I can do about it to prove it right now. But one way or another, you see Dominique Foxworth. He's with me in this hour, and he is one of a large cast of characters as we get up with you. And we start with the NFL playoffs. An enormous change approved by the league. I'll tell you how it could have been rewritten and definitely will rewrite history going forward. Plus, on the anniversary of one of the greatest upsets of all time, we look back with Jay Wright on the day his school pitched basketball's perfect game. And lots of decisions to be made in the NBA. One of the people making them is Mark Cuban. He will join me live in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now. And as always, we start with Get Up and Go. Take you through all the news of the sports world. The NBA and its Players Association are discussing scenarios for withholding up to 25% of the players' remaining salary should the games eventually get canceled. Again, we'll talk to Mark Cuban about that in this hour. Elsewhere, the NHL has extended its self-quarantine period for players and staff to April 15th. It's the second time the league has pushed back their initial self-quarantine date. To football, NFL team owners voting to officially expand the playoffs to 14 teams starting next year, so there'll be just one bye in each conference. This is enormous news, and we will definitely get deeply into it, as we will this from the league yesterday, announcing they plan to release the schedule no later than May 9th, and that they remain optimistic they'll be able to start on time and play a full season. Here's their executive VP and general counsel, Jeff Pasch.
All of our focus has been on a normal, traditional season, starting on time, playing in front of fans in our regular stadiums, and going through the full 16-game regular season and a full set of playoffs.
Okay, so that is obviously an optimistic point of view. Louis Riddick is back with us here, and Dominique. And, Nick, you were not part of this conversation when we had it at the beginning of our show, so I'd like to hear your perspective. Is there anything wrong with the NFL making the plans as they are to be ready to basically go business as usual?
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with it. They're a football league. They should be doing everything they can right now to prepare to have a football season. I don't see the benefit in canceling it right now, but I do think when we get to that point, no one can predict how we'll be, what state the country will be in right now. But when we get to that point, if there is any reason that we should suspect that they will be putting the players in danger or putting any of the staff in any increased danger, then they should cancel the season at that point. But right now, they should be preparing and exploring any option they can to have the season go on as normal, not just because fans want it, but because I think the players and the coaches want it. And we all know that underlining a bunch of this is the financial motivation. It's going to impact everybody in the league. And I'm sure that while the players don't want to be put at risk, if the risk is relatively low, considering football is a risky game, I think most players would want to play a season. No one wants to lose the season, the revenue that's associated with it, and the opportunity, frankly, that's associated with it. No one really has long careers in football. If you're going to have a long career, they say maybe 6, 7, 10 years is a long career. You can't give up one of those if you have the option to keep it.
And then, Louis, you were here at the beginning of our program. You heard Booger McFarland said he would be very concerned about the notion, if it came to this, of separating the players from everyone, including their families, and playing in bubble cities the way they're talking about in basketball. We just had J.J. Redick from the NBA on saying he wants to finish the season, and all the players he's talking to say they'll do that or anything to get their seasons finished. If you were a player, which you were once, how would you feel about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'd be more in the camp of having the same mindset that Booger McFarland had. Look, I think there's so many things that are unknown right now as far as what's going on and how this disease is actually transmitted and stuff. I mean, we're all right now, we all have to rely on the scientists. We have to rely on the doctors. We have to rely on the information that is coming to us all day after day in waves and more and more and bigger waves as far as what exactly does it mean to exist in today's world with, you know, with things being the way they are. And I think right now to kind of like try and project how would I feel about going to a satellite city, so to speak, or a city where, you know, it's deemed relatively safe to be able to play football in front of no fans and be sequestered away from your family. While, I mean, I guess everyone who would be playing these games would be tested and to make sure that they are, you know, that they are safe to be able, you know, to participate in these kind of games. I just don't, I mean, it's hard for me to take my mind and project it that far forward into that kind of scenario when every day the landscape is changing right now. I think we need to just take this one day at a time, conduct business as usual if they want right now, and plan for the future as if everything's going to be okay if they want right now, but be ready to change at a moment's notice because this is all changing.
Okay, so let's talk about the stuff that is going on right now. Despite the league year starting on time, a lot of the NFL's free agents and the contracts they've agreed to are not yet official because the players can't take physicals because of the pandemic. Yesterday, Shefty, live here on this program, shocked me when he explained one scenario in which that could become a major problem. This is what he said.
A lot of these free agent deals that have been entered into, the agreements, they haven't been signed. What's to stop a team from drafting a player it didn't expect to be available at a certain spot and then rescinding the offer to the free agent that it made because it hasn't taken a physical and a signed contract? We may see a little chaos. This is all still playing out right now. It's going to go in ways that we don't expect. There's a lot of tentacles to this that we still have to see how they develop and play out.
So Shefty said that, and we all know Adam Schefter doesn't just say things if he's not hearing them from somewhere. Lewis Riddick, again, you were a player and then you were in the front office. Is that a scenario that you could realistically see taking place?
Sure, I think anything is possible, although I would say this. Look, you know how big I am on relationships, Greeny, and look, player movement in the NFL a lot of times is predicated on those relationships between front offices and agents, front offices with players directly. And if you start burning bridges where you literally go ahead and back out of a deal, not because a player failed a physical, but simply because you found a better alternative, and then all of a sudden just leave that player hanging and say, hey, look, you know what? I know we agreed to a deal, but I'm just going to back out of it now because I have a better alternative. And that could totally throw everything into chaos. Absolutely. And you would be potentially burning some bridges and ruining some relationships in such a way that I don't know if you could ever really have them recover. I would say, look, if Shefty is bringing it up, then obviously, you know, he's thought about it and he's thought, you know, maybe this is something that could happen maybe here and there. But if you start seeing that happen on a broad basis and you start seeing teams doing that more so than you know, typically you would expect, I don't think that would be very good at all. And when things hopefully do return to normal, again, you would have some very, very fractured relationships that I don't think you could ever repair if you wind up stiffing players like that for reasons, you know, other than just, I have a better alternative. I hope that it doesn't come to that.
Me too. In theory, you could see a player doing the same thing if that's sort of a, you know, good for the goose, good for the gander scenario. Dominic, you had an idea you sent me a note about that I really liked.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I think this is an opportunity for Roger Goodell. I think one of the things that we love Adam Silver for is because he gets those kind of easy wins. Oh, there's an owner who's saying the N-word. Let's get him out of the league. And then we all celebrate him. Roger Goodell has an opportunity right now to step in and kind of protect these players and do something that will be perceived as the right thing and something that will be celebrated by everyone is kind of force teams, or not force teams, but make them be accountable to the contracts that they've extended. You can't make a decision based on the draft and then let a guy go because you've already agreed to it. And then the market would be dead for that guy because everyone else has already kind of made their decisions with their salary cap. And I wish that I could agree with Lewis and believe that the fear of ruining relationships was enough to kind of correct these teams. And maybe you're right, because agents do have so much power. If they upset some agents, maybe it will hurt them going forward. But if they think that this changes their potential to win a Super Bowl in the coming years, I think that many of those coaches and GMs will be more than happy to burn those bridges. And I think Rodgers should step in and do what it takes to hold these teams accountable.
Me too. And the bottom line is, it's not that complicated. All of these agreements, which would have been signed by now under normal circumstances, assuming that the physical is passed, should be binding. And that's it. It doesn't seem to me to be a very complicated thing to do. We could do it like that. And I don't know why anyone would be complaining. Again, Sheffy's not bringing this up because no one's talking about it. So I think it's important to keep that in mind. Meanwhile, a player without a deal is Jameis Winston. He may have led the NFL in passing yards last year. He also became the first quarterback in league history to pull off the 30 for 30, 30 touchdowns, 30 picks. His now former wide receiver, Chris Godwin, recently came to Jameis' defense on the subject of all of those interceptions.
I think people that like are really entrenched in football like understand that the quarterback gets a lot of like a lot more to blame than they deserve. You know, sometimes they get a lot more of the credit than they deserve too, but like that's just the nature of the position. I think he's a really, really talented quarterback. Obviously, like there's some things that he does that I guess, like you can't teach, you know, and there's some plays like that he made that just weren't smart plays. But a lot of the interceptions and the mistakes that he made, I would say like at least half of them were because of a bad read on somebody else's part.
So he's defending his guy. Dominique, what are you hearing there?
I mean, I like it. That's the right thing to do, but I'm not buying it. Like his 5-year career, half of all of his interceptions can be explained away by someone else. And even back into his college career where he turned the ball over a little bit more than people were comfortable with. I'm not sure that this is going to give me any confidence that Jameis Winston is better than we all think. And the one thing that I would say about Jameis is you can't blame the weapons around him. He's been in a pretty good situation as far as weapons concerned. So I like that Godwin is doing this because it's the right thing to do for an ex-teammate and someone who you like and respect and you want to land somewhere and land in a favorable position. But it doesn't give me any more confidence. Like, I don't believe that Jameis threw 30 interceptions because of the people around him were making mistakes.
Lewis, I've been dying to ask you this question over the last few weeks. If you were evaluating Jameis Winston right now, as I would imagine 31 of the 32 teams in the NFL are doing, how would you view him and what do you think his future is?
How would I view him? Look, I would be very, very concerned as far as his history of turning over the football and being careless with the football. I mean, that's obvious. Anybody can see that. You just look at his stat sheet and see, look, these numbers don't add up. This is a problem here. But if you're really looking at trying to see whether or not he would add value to your football team and anything that he has done from a negative standpoint on the football field is correctable, then you have to look at this with context. And that is what Chris Godwin is telling you. So what did I do when I saw Chris Godwin say that? I went back and once again just pulled up all of Jameis' interceptions this year. And Chris, I believe, is just talking about this year in 2019. And there is a lot of validity to what Chris says. There are multiple plays in Jameis' interception reel from this year where, one, a ball either bounces off a wide receiver's hands, gets tipped up in the air, and it is intercepted. Or you can tell that either a wide receiver gave up on the route, Jameis thought he was going to make a different break in a different direction, the route was supposed to be run a little bit deeper. And we all know, if we've played the game, and even if we haven't played the game, we know when the quarterback and wide receivers look at each other and that there has been some miscommunication. We know when that happens. Here's the thing with Jameis. Jameis has such a long history already of turning over the football that no matter what people tell you about the reason behind he has had some of the interceptions that he's had, people aren't going to believe it. People just think, look, he's 30 for 30, Jameis, and that's it. I don't care what anybody else says. But the truth of the matter is, there is validity to what Chris Godwin says. It's just whether or not you want to deal with it or not. And so, right now, teams have opted not to deal with it.
So give me a team. Where should he go now?
You know what? I don't think the New England Patriots are going to sign him, but I believe that is where ultimately that's the kind of place that Jameis needs to go to, a team that will absolutely hold him to the highest level of accountability that he's ever been held to. Because you know up there, they don't play when it comes to that kind of thing. You turn over a football there, Bill will cut you in the middle of a game. He would probably tell you to go in the locker room and get undressed and just go ahead and get an Uber and get on out of town. That's the kind of place he needs to go to. And you know that's the kind of place that's only going to take you at their price. They're not going to budge for anyone. And I think that's maybe what would be the best thing for Jameis, because then you would actually find out, okay, are my mistakes correctable? Are my downfalls correctable or aren't they? And am I willing to do whatever is necessary in order to actually reach my potential that everybody thought I could reach when I got drafted out of Florida State?
Nick, Jameis in New England, I love it. What do you think?
Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to see that happen, but I've never heard the criticism of Jameis is that he isn't like committed or he's a guy that needs his feet held to the fire. Everyone I've heard talk about him says that he is a committed guy. He just makes mistakes on the field. And I would love to see him with the Steelers because they have a quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger who is similar to Jameis and kind of a big bodied guy who is aggressive and throwing the ball down the field, who's been able to have some success in the league. I would love to see him back up Ben Roethlisberger for a year or two and figure it out.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see where he winds up and what his role is. We have much more football as we continue to get up this morning. The NFL has expanded the playoffs to 14 teams. We'll tell you how that change would have changed everything for Patrick Mahomes last year. It's a huge decision. We'll get into it. And then when and if the NBA returns this season, what will it look like? One of the people in charge of that decision is Mark Cuban. He'll answer those questions and more. He'll join us live in this hour. Get up on ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Every time we are that, I find another part of it funny. Anyway, Dominique Foxworth is with us here. Nothing funny about this. I will propose a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions, and Dominique is going to answer them. And here comes the first. Dominique Foxworth, who should be the Patriots' starting quarterback week one of the NFL season?
Cam Newton. I like Cam Newton in that spot. I know that New England has had a different style of quarterback for 2 decades now, and it doesn't make it easy to imagine Cam Newton in that situation. But we've seen Bill Belichick recreate this offense, and we've seen them change depending on the personnel that they have. That's one of the things that's great about that organization, is from the defense to the offense, that they manage to get the best out of their players. And I think Cam Newton will be a very interesting piece to see them build around. And I think it will be a great place for Cam maybe to sign a one-year deal that's not super lucrative to kind of reestablish his value. What better place than to go there in that trusted situation and show that he can assimilate into that culture and perform, and then maybe try to be a free agent kind of quarterback the following season and go and win a Super Bowl somewhere else?
I agree. I love it. Jeff Darlington said earlier Cam's waiting this situation out to try and get a big deal somewhere. I don't know if that's forthcoming.
Yeah, that's not
so
coming.
Maybe a one-year situation is the best thing for him. Next, NFL expanding their playoffs to 14 teams. Good idea or bad idea?
I actually think it's a pretty good idea. I think dropping the one bye, and I heard the conversation earlier, I don't think that that's bad. It seems to put more attention on how valuable that first, that number one overall seed would be. And I think that that makes the games later in the season, assuming that there's a race, that makes those more important. And it makes those teams who we would have established out of it before, give them something to fight for. I frankly like the idea of having, and it's just one more game. So it's not that it's a great tax on the whole league as far as players are concerned. So I like it so far. I'm looking forward to seeing how it pans out. There's always unforeseen impacts and externalities when you change something like that we can't predict. But just as I imagine it in my mind, it's something that I find very appealing and really rewarding, that one team that gets that bye. Because right now, there are teams who coast because they're like, well, If we get the first or second seed, then we're good. We get that bye, and it makes those games late in the season less valuable and less important.
I'm with you. I like it for a lot of reasons you named and even more. But meanwhile, I have my best question for last. If you had to bet your kids' college tuition, will Tua Tagovailoa have a 10-year NFL career?
Oh, man, I'm not betting my kids' college tuition on Tua staying healthy. Like, I think that he's given us all the evidence that he can be a very good top-level quarterback and play at least 10 years in the league by the style of play. But I've yet to see him really have a full, healthy season. And when you read up on him, he's had injuries all the way back to high school. And I'm not one to call somebody injury-prone because I don't know the science behind it. Maybe people are just unlucky. I can't guess in that way, but it does seem like it'd be hard for me to bank on Tua staying healthy and going as he steps up to a league that is frankly more physical, longer, and more risky. I can't imagine that there's a situation where Tua suddenly just is lucky throughout the rest of his football playing life and doesn't get injured again. It'd be hard for me to bet anything that matters on Tua staying healthy, not on Tua playing well. Like, I think he'll play well when he is healthy, but I can't predict that he's going to be able to avoid injury because he hasn't yet in his football career.
Yeah, I want to bring the big fella into this conversation as well. Booger McFarland is with us today, too. And the reason I phrased it that way, Booger, is I get, and look, I'm rooting for like crazy for the kid, but I get frustrated hearing people say, well, if you don't take a risk, you never know what happened. That's why I phrased the question that way. Booger, this is some general manager in the NFL betting his children's college tuition on a player who gets hurt every year in college. That I know I wouldn't be able to do it, Booger. What do you think?
Yeah, Green, I would definitely take him. Now, I would not mortgage my draft and move up. Everyone is talking about Miami has a multitude of picks, which they do. I would not package picks to move up. If I could draft him sitting there at number 5 in Miami, I feel pretty good about it. Greeny, here's the fact of the matter. Look at the quarterbacks in the National Football League that are starting and how many of them have been hurt at some point. Tom Brady has had an ACL. Aaron Rodgers has done a collarbone. Like, if you go down, like, Matthew Stafford has broken his back. These guys are going to get hurt at some point. Am I concerned about Tua Tagovailoa and the hip? Absolutely. Am I concerned about the two tightrope procedures on the ankle? Not really, because they were both sprained ankles. And if Alabama would have just been patient, those sprained ankles would have healed on their own. But Alabama wanted to get him back on the field sooner, so they performed the tightrope procedure. This is a game that is a physical game by nature. You are going to get hurt. The percentages say more likely than not. So if I'm a GM and I like what Tua can do, which is as a quarterback, he can throw the football with timing, accuracy. He can make good decisions. He has pocket skills and can move in the pocket. And the MRI comes back clean as far as the hip right now. I'm fine with drafting him because this is a game where it's not if you get hurt. A large percentage of the guys are going to get hurt. You just have to feel comfortable where they are. And as young as Tua is, I think he can recover and be just fine, which he has so far with the hip by all things that have been told to us.
Listen, there's nothing I hope more than that you are right. Guys, I'm going to leave it there because our next guest is ready to go. The question is, when might we see NBA stars back on the floor and what will it look like when we do? There are a lot of questions, and someone who has at least some of the answers is Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. He will be with us live when we continue in just a moment. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It has been 22 days since the NBA season was put on hold because of the coronavirus pandemic. It all started on March 11th, right before tip-off of a game between the Jazz and the Thunder. Rudy Gobert tested positive for the virus. The game was suspended, leading ultimately to the indefinite suspension of all NBA games. Since then, at least 10 named and unnamed players have tested positive for the virus, including Gobert's teammate Donovan Mitchell and Marcus Smart and Kevin Durant, among the others. The NBA has not revealed yet plans to resume the season, but the league has been watching closely to see how the Chinese Basketball Association would restart. Those plans were put on hold yesterday. The CBA has been shut down since January. And one of the people who know the most about all of this, of course, is Mark Cuban, who has been terrific to join us through this process and update us as best he can. Mark, I so appreciate it. And you have been optimistic for the most part about the season possibly returning earlier than I've heard from a lot of other people. Now that the Chinese basketball season has been delayed again, what are your thoughts about where things stand for the NBA?
I have no idea. I mean, the only thing I know is that we're going to put safety first and we're not going to take any chances. We're not going to do anything that risks the health or safety of our players, our fans, our staff, the whole organization. So right now, I really don't have anything new to say.
So let me ask you this then. In the meetings, the briefings and all of that that you guys have, what are the kinds of conditions that would have to be in place in your mind for the conversation to come back even to begin?
All the experts have got to say it'll be absolutely safe. We cannot put anything ahead of the health and safety of our players and staff. That's it. And it's such a moving target and nobody really has specifics. So, I mean, I haven't had any conversations where anybody's even discussed an actual date at this point.
So the forgetting the date, let's talk about what it could look like. Brian Windhorst has talked with us about the possibility of playing in bubble cities, as they're being called, maybe bringing the entire league to one or two cities, have everyone separated essentially from the rest of the world and playing it out there with a lot of testing. That's what they're planning to do in China. Have there been conversations about that for the NBA?
Honestly, I'm not on that committee. So, you know, I just know what I've read. You know, last time I talked to the commissioner, no one was willing to make any types of commitments. We'll talk to the epidemiologist, the virologist, all the experts, and they'll tell us what we can and can't do. I don't have anything specific for you at all, Greeny. I wish I did. I wish I could just, you know, have something we'd say, this is the time, this is the way. I just don't know.
I totally get it. Let me just ask you, in theory, like, what would you think of an idea like that? It seems to be what they're doing in the Chinese Basketball Association. And as Brian explained to us, in China, basically the league can just tell the players, this is what we're doing. Either show up or you're not playing for us anymore. Obviously, it's very different in your league where the relations between the players and the owners are so much are different and better in every way. As a concept, what do you think it sounds like?
I mean, it sounds great to me, right? And I'll tell you why. America needs sports. We need something to root for. We need something to be excited about. You know, everybody in North Texas wants a reason to have the Mavs back on and to get excited and to cheer together. And, you know, even if there's not any fans, just being able to watch on television and get excited and yell at the TV and high five people again. We just need that. And so I'm all for it. You know, whatever we can make happen, I'm pro doing it.
You know, it's interesting because Adam Silver, when he did an interview with Rachel, I guess it's about a week ago now, it's kind of hard to keep track of days, he talked about, he used the phrase, I think, civic responsibility to say that sports leagues like yours, which is so popular and provides so much joy and entertainment for millions of people who candidly desperately need it right now, he used those words. I just wonder your thoughts on what, if any, civic responsibility there is for a league like yours to come back and do whatever you can whenever you can.
The NBA has always prided itself and being a leader, being socially responsible and being willing to take the lead where others may not be willing to take those steps. And so I think it's, you know, incredibly important. This is such a unique time. We've never seen anything like this. And hopefully we won't, our kids won't, more kids will never see it again. And so we do have that civic responsibility when it's safe to get out there and play again so that the country has something to rally behind. Everybody's scared. Nobody really has any answers. And just being a diversion, just being something people get excited about, I think it would be a great thing for the NBA and really help us move forward, help the country and the world, since we're so global, move forward.
Yeah, I agree. Let's just a couple of business pieces of this here. I've heard you comment on this before. I'm dying to hear your thoughts on it here. If we are able to come back and you guys are able to play and it all gets delayed and pushed back into the summer, it could, through circumstances that were not planned, create an opportunity for you guys to see something about the possibility of reshuffling a schedule and a calendar in a way that you might use permanently. You could see permanent changes in something like that. What are your thoughts on the possibility of the NBA potentially using this as an opportunity? I shouldn't say it that way. Not using it as an opportunity, but creating a situation where you guys play into the summer and that's something you consider doing permanently.
Honestly, it's something I've been asking for more than 10 years. You know, I've always thought that we should start on Christmas and go into the summer. But the response has always been that our television partners don't want that because there's fewer households using television during the summer months. But everything's different right now, particularly if we continue to be quarantined. then people are at home willing to watch the games. Nothing else is on effectively other than Shark Tank and SportsCenter and you guys, of course. But I think it really could be a great experiment for us. And if it works out well, then we continue to do it. But I really think it would work.
It's certainly something that we had some conversation about even before this, to your point. One other story going on during this pandemic involves the payment of players. As we speak, 25% of players' salary would be withheld, is the reporting that we have, should the games be canceled. What in your mind is the fair solution to all of that?
I'll let Adam and Michelle Roberts decide that. I don't know. I'm lucky. My financial situation isn't going to change a whole lot one way or the other. And every single owner is in a different financial position. I think people look at it and look at the owners and say, wow, we own this multi-billion dollar value teams. But what they don't realize, and I know this just from talking to one other owner, a lot of their other businesses are just getting destroyed. I mean, you know, and if you're getting, you know, what used to be a source of income is now losses and maybe even bankruptcy, you have to take all those factors into consideration. And I know when Adam and the NBA Players Association talk about it, that'll be a consideration. But again, we're going to try to be fair. And I'm not trying to come to any judgments at all. I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot more factors than just, okay, the teams are worth a lot of money. Let's pay everybody. And I know Michelle and Adam will look at all those factors.
Listen, Mark, the best to you and your family. Be safe. Thank you very much for doing this. We'll check in again soon. And I appreciate it very much. Thanks.
Thank you, Greeny. Thank you.
Take care. That's Mark Cuban with us here. Tonight on ESPN, we start our weekly look back at the greatest games in NBA Finals history. And we start with two from the 2016 Finals. 7 Eastern tonight, you get Game 5. LeBron and the Cavs, Steph and the Warriors. It's the legendary series that then resulted in Game 7 in Oakland, which will follow. Both games are on ESPN and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, another huge guest coming up. Villanova, 1985. Today's the anniversary of what might have been the greatest upset in basketball history. And a man to whom that is an important date is their current head coach, Jay Wright. Oh, look at the beard on the very handsome Jay Wright. This will be fun. He joins us live next in just a moment. Get up on ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere. Which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
That's it. Villanova has done it. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why they play the game and not just talk about them the day before. Villanova did the impossible. They beat Georgetown, an improbable team when the tournament started. The Villanova Wildcats will now go down in history as the big shocking upset winner in the NCAA championship tournament.
You know, I wanted to have some fun today. 35 years ago today was that game. And I'm telling you, if you are old enough to remember it, as I am, it is one of those games you will never forget watching for the rest of your life. It is considered by many to be as big an upset as there has ever been in college basketball or anywhere. And a man who also remembers it extraordinarily well is the head coach of Villanova today. He's Jay Wright, and he's good enough to jump in with us here for a few minutes to think about it. Jay, I appreciate it very much. And I saw that you were live tweeting a replay of that game recently. I was following. What does that game mean to you 35 years later?
It's amazing, Greeny. I think you hit it right on. If you were alive at that time, I don't know if our players right now just understand the impact of it. I think with the USA upset of Russia in hockey, that was the biggest upset of our era. And it really was because of how good Georgetown was. In watching that game, it struck me how talented, how many pros Georgetown had, how well coached they were, how disciplined they were, how amazing Patrick Ewing was. And for Villanova to find a way to win that was incredible. Those guys are still magical, mysterious guys on our campus. They're still tight. When they come back, it's still different than the other championship teams.
Now, Patrick Ewing, that wound up being his last game ever. That was a team that Georgetown team would have gone down as one of the greatest teams of all time, yeah. Except Villanova as an 8 seed knocked them off. What, Jay, does an upset like that mean to sports in general?
that there's a lot of people to this day that still use that as just like the great underdog story. Like I said about the USA team, it just shows you anything is possible. Villanova lost twice to Georgetown during that season. Georgetown was just seemed so dominant that no one could ever beat it. It was kind of a given that they were just going to win the championship, and rightfully so. No one really believed that could happen. Even as I watched it this past weekend, I still get nervous. You still think it's not going to happen at the end.
They basically pitched a perfect game. I've described it that way many times. Villanova did the basketball equivalent of pitching a perfect game, and they were led, of course, by Rolly Massimino, the legendary coach. You see video of him there. We lost him recently. I know how incredibly close you were to him throughout his life, or at least the last part of it here since that time. How would you describe what that day meant to him and to your school?
You know, that really put – Villanova had a great basketball tradition always. Villanova was in the first Final Four in 1939, but that one put Villanova on the map, not just as a basketball program, but as a university. There wasn't Twitter at that time, you know, and I remember after we won in 16, we were the most Googled word that next day or that next year. But at that time for Villanova, admission skyrocketed. The academic level of the students went to a whole nother level. Villanova became more of a national university. And to Coach Mass, it was him running off at halftime, pumping his fist, and that was true Rolly Massimino. He loved being the underdog. He liked being the underdog better than he liked, and he was. He was an underdog in life. You know, a short guy, a son of an immigrant from Italy, a shoemaker who became one of the great coaches in college basketball history.
Two other things I'd love to talk to you about while I have you here, and I so appreciate you doing this. It was just under 3 weeks ago the NCAA canceled their tournament, and obviously that's an opportunity your players would have had that they're not going to get back. I just wonder what kinds of conversations you had with them and have had with them since and how they're handling that.
Well, Greeny, the word attitude is a big part of our program. And what that comes to is like we really don't have control of what happens to us in life. What we have control of is how we respond to it. And each day we have that choice when we wake up, like what's our attitude going to be regardless of what happened. We try to teach the guys on the basketball court next play. You know, whatever happened on the previous play, you got to control your attitude on the next play. It's the same thing. And we talked to them about this in life. Yeah, I mean, we missed an opportunity for the NCAA tournament. Thank God we only have one senior, Tim Saunders. And it is tough for those guys to miss it. But compared to what's going on in the world, it's nothing. And it's a great opportunity for us now to spend time with our families, kind of get recentered. We always tell the guys if we're in there on Christmas night practicing, like, this is crazy. Like, if anybody on the outside tell you we're crazy, we are crazy. Being in here on Christmas night, but that's what we are. We're passionate basketball guys, and it's a little bit nuts. I think this has recentered all of us, including our country.
Well, with that thought in mind, I did want to ask you this, and at the risk of being overly dramatic, this has been such a complicated experience for everyone, and I just wonder, you being a leader as you are and being such a well-known figure as you are, like what your thoughts are going through your mind right now about sports and the role they play in our society, in the big picture, as we see a world without them for this period of time?
You know, I've thought about this a lot, Greeny. Leading into this, I was starting to think that, our society was getting just a little off center. We just, like, celebrities and athletes were getting so much attention and so much praise. And the people like doctors and police officers and first responders and nurses, they were kind of going unnoticed, you know, and I thought that was kind of off. And I think this has kind of recentered us to realize that the people that actually live their lives for others, like all these first responders and people in healthcare, that they're the people that really are the true heroes. And the second part of this is what I've realized as I was thinking that sports was getting too big in our society. now that we don't have it, and I realize talking to some of those first responders, some of the healthcare people, they actually enjoy the break of getting up in the morning instead of thinking about what they're going to be dealing with for the next 12 hours, watching you and just getting a break from it. So as long as we all keep it in perspective, I think it's all valuable. But I think this time of really understanding how important these other people are who live their lives for others, that's what it's all about. And that's who we should be looking up to.
Really well said. Jay, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you doing this. The best to you and your family. Stay safe, and we will see you under better circumstances soon. Thanks a million.
You too, Greeny. Good to see you, buddy.
All right, that's Jay Wright, again, head coach, Villanova. And as we continue here, had the NFL's new playoff format been in place last season, the road to the Super Bowl for Patrick Mahomes would have been very different. Do Max and Stephen A. like, love, or hate the big change in the playoff schedule? They'll answer on First Take in 10 minutes on ESPN.
There may be no games.
No practices.
No high fives.
But we're all still part of a team.
And we all have a role to play.
Right now, that means keeping our distance.
But still checking on each other.
Helping the most vulnerable.
And supporting our heroes.
That are keeping us safe.
Sports may be paused.
But the best parts
are needed now more than ever.
So let's all do our part to help our team.
Right now.
Amen. Back on ESPN here in GetUp. Final few minutes, given the uncertainty of the NBA's future, some have considered the possibility of the league using bubble cities. It is something I brought up with J.J. Redick live on our show about an hour ago. It does seem to be the direction they're going with the Chinese Basketball Association when they're able to play again. Essentially, you bring the entire league to one or two cities. You keep them, for all intents and purposes, sequestered from everybody else. You test the players regularly, and you try and play it out that way. Max Kellerman is getting set to do First Take in just a few minutes. Max, we've had sort of mixed reaction from players about how comfortable they would feel in a scenario like that. Could you see the NBA, obviously it's a very different culture than they have in China, could you see the NBA being able to do something like that to finish up its season and potentially do that for something that might last into months?
Yes, I could. Of course, they'd have to take figuratively the temperature of the players. As Jay Williams pointed out yesterday, especially the star players, who don't rely on their next paycheck, who could forego some prorated amount of their salary in order to stay with their families. But I do think if you're just testing players, you know, right now it's a bad look because we're expecting hundreds of thousands of American deaths as a result of this virus. For a wealthy league to acquire a lot of tests that are in short supply is a bad look. However, as time goes on, as testing becomes more readily available, not to test everyone and their families and the whole support staff, but if you could make as much of a so-called kind of skeleton crew of the NBA as possible and test just those players and they go into quarantine, yeah, I think they could play games in empty gyms. I think it's possible.
It may be the only opportunity that they have. And you get a sense that the players would go for that a lot of them being taken away from their families for potentially a month or two or something like that at this crazy time quickly, you think most of the players would do it?
No, I don't know. I really, that's why. So you have to take the temperature of the players. I think it's the possibility. Look, I've brought this up with you before. FDR implored baseball once upon a time to keep playing through the Second World War because he felt it was essential for or important for American morale. And so I think we can have the same kind of thing here, you know, some kind of idea that this is that sports are important for us, serve as a distraction, particularly with people sitting at home with this on their minds. And by the way, this may come and go in waves, social distancing. There may be a window where people feel, okay, now we flatten the curve. It may spike again, but right now there's a little window to do it. So I think there are various possibilities, including isolating the players if enough of them would go for it.
All right, they're yelling at me that I need to let you go. I could keep talking forever. Max, live in 2 minutes. Stephen A. Molly and Company, First Take is on the way. I'll see you there. Max, thank you very much. Very quickly to Neek, I want to end this with a smile on our face, okay? Because there's so much serious stuff going on right now. But Chris Godwin, as we all know, Tampa Bay Buccaneers receiver, has worn the number 12 all this time. Now here comes Tom Brady. So Godwin has told us all that he is changing, he is willingly changing his number to 14, and he is giving Tom Brady the number 12 and not asking for anything in return. Dominique, I mean, history tells us that guys have gotten you know, anything from like cars and all sorts of fancy things. What would you have asked Tom Brady for if he wanted your number?
Absolutely nothing. The same thing that Chris Godwin did. Maybe throw me the ball a couple extra times, look my way. Like, I think the honor that Godwin feels to have the greatest of all times. Like, we're not talking about just a guy or a starter or even a Hall of Famer. We're talking about the greatest of all time. When we hear those stories about people paying for numbers or giving cars for a number, we're not talking about the GOAT. That's as if, that's like Michael Jordan walking into, onto your team and you saying, nah, let me hold on to this 23 unless you're going to slide me a couple bucks. It's kind of outrageous to me to think that somebody would expect Tom Brady to pay Chris Godwin for it. Greeny, what would you ask for?
That's candidly ridiculous. I mean, basically, if I'm offering you that honor and a Mercedes, why wouldn't you take the honor and the Mercedes? You're telling me you'd rather just have the honor and no Mercedes.
I said I would take it. You asked, what would I ask for? I would ask for nothing. If you wanted it, what would you ask for, Greeny?
I would ask for a lot of things. I mean, I think I've just given you an indication of where it would begin. Anyway, I wanted to sort of finish it with a little bit of a smile, because that's what we're trying to do here every single morning. As I always say, all us sports fans are trying to get through this thing together. And most importantly, we would like to thank all of the first responders and all the medical professionals who are keeping us safe and helping us through this extraordinary time. The only word that comes to mind is thanks, and it's not nearly enough. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take is next.